The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I am joined by Survivor 48's Mitch Guerra for our Episode 2 Predictions and Power Rankings for Survivor 49. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Phil.
I'm excited to get you in here. I always like to get somebody from the most recent season in right away. I feel like that kind of sets the tone and says, hey, this is a person who really did just experience it. So what's the experience like now? Last season, you had to go through watch party after watch party. I know you were at like every week you were doing one. You had to deal with the internet with some crazy stuff. Now you're just watching as a fan again. What's it like to be kind of in that seat?
It feels really good to be able to tune in every Wednesday and just enjoy it. It was exciting to get to see everyone hosting all of their own Survivor watch parties and getting to celebrate everyone on season 49 from Waco, Texas, you know?
Yeah. No, and it's always funny when it changes, then the torch passes, because I feel like one season you're in it, and then all of a sudden I'm watching your clip that you put out with all of the Survivor 48 people giving advice to the 49ers, and you could read some subliminal messaging in some of those messages. Joe's, I was like, all right, Joe, what's going on here? Let's get you on for an interview.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I guess I'm gonna post this because you shared it.
I love it. What'd you think of the premiere?
Yeah, it was really good. I felt like we got to get to meet a bunch of the castaways. I enjoyed that the opening challenge, everyone wasn't covered in a bunch of mud. So I'm happy they got to have a different experience than all of us did. But yeah, I thought that opening challenge was intense.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because Blake, one of his biggest complaints whenever I have him on, and as your whole cast knows, Blake's a big complainer. That's what he likes to do. One of Blake's biggest complaints is that why are we in the first challenge covering people in mud? We're trying to get to know
them. Yeah. I'm like, who is that? I don't even know them yet.
Right. And you're sitting there watching yourself probably being like, I think that one's me. There he is. But I like this challenge where they're running into the woods, where they're doing different things. And honestly, I said it in the recap of this episode. I felt like the challenges were the strongest part of this premiere. I thought the cast was good, but we've seen a lot of the stuff. And I felt like without the idols, it kind of was, I'm like, okay, let's get somewhere. But the challenges, I felt like they were going a little bit more old school, which gives me hope with 50 that we're going to see people like Colby and Stephanie and then Joe and Jonathan compete in real physical, different kinds of challenges. No challenge ended in a puzzle. There were puzzles, but no challenge actually ended in a puzzle because MC had to jump up and hit her bell.
Yeah. And honestly, it was just good seeing everybody have to do something. Like everybody had to pull their own weight, which I definitely appreciated.
Yeah, because sometimes they do, you know, three or four people do it, or somebody's barely involved. And luckily, no injuries this time. Although I do have a big complaint that they're still putting them diving, and I think it was in the immunity challenge, they have them diving under wood into a small portion.
Are we going to hit someone else's head? Yeah.
We saw Bruce do this, everybody. We already saw Bruce get medevac day one, and we saw how that impacted that season. Bruce clearly would have been interesting over there on that Tika tribe. Let's not have somebody bashing their head. Every time somebody dives, I go, please slow down.
It's like, please be careful. Absolutely.
So standouts for you. Let's talk about this blue tribe first, because I want to go there. This is the tribe that went to tribal. Were you expecting it to be Nicole when we were coming in? And what stood out to you on this tribe maybe that you weren't expecting coming into the season?
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Jake. I felt like he put himself in a really good p- position. Him and Alex seem like they're in a really comfortable place. I love that they added Sophie B. And who is the other guy?
Jeremiah,
who is a hoot and a half. That boy is entertaining. But yeah, I was happy that Jake put himself in a really good position. You got to hear a bunch from them, which kind of is interesting. I'm like, are we going to see them a bunch throughout the season? Are we going to see them a bunch the next few weeks? That is definitely interesting, to say the least. And then it was unfortunate that Annie and Nicole are on the outs. I'm pulling for Annie because she's in Austin, so I gotta pull for a Texas girl. But at the moment, it seems like he is in some trouble.
Yeah, it's I'm not feeling good about Annie's position on that tribe at all. Nicole was saying in her exit press that Jake was really the one who was driving her going home. She felt that if it wasn't for Jake, she'd probably still be there because everybody else was more on board with getting Annie out of the game. So pretty interesting to hear that. I don't know what Jake's plan is. I think Jake put himself in a good position early here, but I worry that if he's doing too much of a bromance with Alex and this tribe starts losing and losing and losing and they say, we have the biggest guy here and we're losing anyway, that could potentially put him in trouble, right?
Yeah. And it's like the other two people who were there working with, I feel like would probably do a better job with other people on other tribes. So I feel like Alex and Jake have to chill it out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe not skip into the woods holding hands.
Yeah, they were looking hot and heavy out there for sure.
Exactly. Jack Wolf, first comment here. Mitch Curry in the house. Will anyone this season be as good at shooting baskets or throwing as Mitch was last year? Mitch, what do you think?
Absolutely not. I don't think anyone is as good as me, other than Hunter from season 46.
Yeah, Hunter was pretty ridiculous at everything. He also he did that challenge thing. I just saw it a couple months ago, or maybe last month, where he did something in Mississippi where he had flown down a bunch of survivors and he built everything in his backyard for what was it? It was kind of Squid Game-y.
And yes, he had 100 people and they had a bunch of competitions, and I want to say like whichever team finished the challenge last like was out. It looked so fun. Unfortunately, I couldn't go because it was like the week before like school. So I was like, dude, like that sounds awesome, but I wasn't able to make it happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, I want to change gears here a little bit instead of talking about 49 real quick, because I know you've been such a big fan for so long, and I see you've been jumping around actually doing a lot of the stuff postseason. You were doing a lot of stuff during your season. You're doing a lot postseason. I mean, I think you're at Colby Donaldson's house hanging out with Colby. Like, you're doing all of this really fun stuff. For the people who are listening who have been fans for a while, and most of our listeners are people who are, you know, they've been fans for a long time. I know we've had people who have gone on the show after listening to us for 6-7 years.
Yeah. Wild.
How many times did you apply before you got on?
I applied maybe 12 times. Like, I started applying in 2012, and I applied probably every year since 2012. Most of those applications, I would like have an interview, and it just didn't ever go anywhere. And it like just goes to show you that like sometimes it just isn't like meant to be, and then when it is, it is. So yeah. Like, you just have to keep putting yourself out there. I think the biggest thing is like you have to get really good at telling your story, you know, like be as entertaining as possible, like just get comfortable, like having conversations. And that's coming from like someone who has a severe speech impediment. Like, you just gotta get good at it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. I mean, some people have applied for just as long. I think I probably applied for the first time around the time you're saying, because I was 20 at that time. So
yeah,
it's always fascinating when you hear people who say, I don't know if I'm gonna apply this cycle, I've been doing it. I mean, you know, a lot of people have gone through that. So it sounds like you got a bunch of calls.
Yeah.
When you were going through the process and then finally get on the show. So don't give up, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't give up. Like,
And like, truly, the past year has been so insane. Like, I ate Mexican food at a restaurant with Colby and his girlfriend. And it's just like, what am I doing here? Like, literally, this is wild to be sitting here having a conversation with someone who I literally grew up watching, and he's like, hey, like, how is everything? Like, how are you doing? Like, are you handling it great? And like, literally, like, we're in the middle of this Mexican restaurant in Austin, and like, multiple people are like coming up to me and like asking me to take pictures, and it's like, timeout. Like, I'm not cool, but he is cool. Like, everybody should be like having conversations with him.
Yeah, that would have been one, Mitch, and this is no offense to you, where I would have came up, I would have taken a picture with both of you, and then I probably would have been like, Mitch, now can you take a picture of me and Colby?
Oh my gosh, literally, I was like, he's so much cooler than me. Like, you guys are crazy.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny though, and that shows, right, with the relevance thing. You're on TV, so people are seeing you. And I always think about it when people were talking about Colby coming back for 50 and those types of announcements. People are saying, "Well, we saw Colby in Heroes and Villains. We don't need to see another version of Colby." People forget how big Survivor was back in the day, and Colby's over there in Red Eye and all these different movies and stuff. Colby's who I'm most excited to watch on 50, and I've been saying that pretty shamelessly since the cast was announced. And some people are saying he was boring on Heroes, Villains, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. That was you know, that would be, I don't know, Derek Jeter coming out of retirement to play one game. I don't care how bad if he got 12.
Exactly. And it's like, I just, man, like, he is literally one of the most well-known people to ever go out there. And it's like, all right, let's go again. Come on.
I know. Mitch is going to start wearing suits and stuff around, you know. He's just getting cooler and cooler. He's going to start looking like Spy Mitch if he keeps hanging out with people like Colby and, you know, who knows who else is coming up. But I saw you went – you were with Benry, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
That is random.
That was okay. Yeah, that one was super cool. I was speaking at the National Stuttering Association conference in Denver. So I was like, hey guys, like, I'm going to be in Denver. And he like hit me up. He was like, hey dude, like, how are you? And yeah, we like I like got dinner with him and his fiance, who is incredible, and like hung out like for hours. And yeah, like his season, like, is like so good. Like, that is like such an iconic season. It was kind of a shit show, but it was so good, you know.
That's why it's iconic, is because it was a shit show. Yeah, I mean, did we get to the bottom of the Dirt Squirrel meaning? Or, you know, that would be the first thing I probably would have asked him, but here we are.
Yeah.
All right. I get a 40. I wanted to get that out of the way early, because I know, look, it's 7:30 a.m. for the people on the West Coast right now. Oh, so I know we're going to have West Coasters going to tune in later. We got our East Coasters and everything. I know people were, at least our fans were, pretty lukewarm on the 49 premiere. So if you're not necessarily the most stoked about the power rankings, you can hear about keep applying, because even if it takes you 12 times, you get on the show and hang out with Colby and Benry, as random as that duo is. So that could be your future too. What did you think about this Red Tribe?
Oh, I love them. I love them a lot, actually. I think what's special about the Red Tribe is they're on the same beach that I was on, so I'm definitely pulling for someone on that tribe. I am obsessed with Savannah and Rizzo. And I really enjoy Nate. He's awesome. I also am really intrigued to learn more about Sage. I want to say she was at our LA interview together. I feel like I remember seeing her when I flew out to interview. So I'm interested to see how she does. She seems really unique. And so I'm interested to see how all of them on that tribe are going to get along. I feel like if anyone's in trouble on that tribe, it might be Joe Juan. I felt like they were kind of setting him up. He was kind of having this emotional moment. And it's like, but it's only day one or two. But it is hard out there. Like, those, like, first few moments, it's like you get really insecure. So, like, I totally get it. But the fact that they chose to show it is like, oh, that might not be great.
As Juwan is my winner pick. So as my winner pick, I'm looking at, they showed that because he's going to have the redemption arc, right? That's how I'm looking
at it. Okay, that's a good idea.
Keep the positive spin as much as I possibly can. I have to ask, though, if Sage was out there, was she just hanging out in or near the bathroom the entire time, considering all we heard from her was that she loves poop and peeing and burping? And, like, Sage is one of the more questionable – look, and if, Sage, you're listening, apologies. But one of the more questionable casting choices from what I saw in episode one, because I go, who is sitting there watching Sage going, I relate to Sage right now. I also love poop, sitting in the water. And, look, if you are answering that question as, yeah, I relate it to her. Like, okay, great. Maybe keep that one a little to yourself. That was just so weird. That was her whole thing, the whole episode. That's all she said.
Well, like, I just appreciate that she's like comfortable enough to just openly say that, like, and it just goes to show you that, like, if you show up as your authentic self, like, that's kind of what they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. And before we get into the rankings here, Yellow Tribe, the tribe that we saw the least from, what did you think, and who are you leaning towards on that one?
Ooh, I love MC. I think she's hella fit. I am surprised she was an alternate, but I'm happy she's out there. I really love Christina. I think her energy is infectious. And those first few days, just like having someone who like has such a good attitude, is extremely helpful. I also love Steven a lot, but his edit that episode kind of makes me really nervous, which I hate because I hope he goes really far. But out of everyone on that tribe, I am pulling for my girl Sophie S, who wasn't alternate on season 48. So, you know,
yeah,
I am pulling for her so hard, so hard.
No bias there at all.
Huh? None at all.
Yeah, it was weird what they did with Steven and Jawan, because you had mentioned Jawan already, but Steven and Jawan, I felt like, had two weird edits where they were big and there's a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
They were talking a lot and they seemed like focal parts of their tribes. And everything was going well for them at one point, and then all of a sudden, paranoia kind of hit for both of them. And especially for Steven, talking about, well, what if everybody wants to vote me out? What if I'm the guy who's going to be gone? All this. And I'm saying to myself, where is this coming from? I understand maybe if it's just coming from your own personal life, but based on what I saw on the island, it didn't feel like anybody was anti-Steven at all.
Yes, but it just goes to show you, like, how easy it is, like, to get incredibly insecure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll see how this one goes. For everybody who is a top tier patron, or if you want to become a top tier patron, you can also play along in the Power Rankings game. We give away a prize at the end of the year. So head over to patreon.com/thespecialist. You can see it right here at the bottom of the screen. And go over there and join before this episode, so you have just as much of a chance to win as everybody else. If you missed this episode, you're probably going to have a really hard time catching up, because people could get up to 17 points this time. Power Rankings game is very simple. You rank them based on who you think is safest at the top to who you think is going home at the bottom. And that's it. It's really that easy. We do it on Real TV Fantasy. Peter does a great job over there. That's also where we host our fantasy game, which, unfortunately, if you miss that one, you miss that one. That's already in. I'm in 27th out of 30 after week one, so I'm not feeling exactly great about my fantasy team this year. But so we're going to rank these players 1 to 17. Obviously, we're going to be discussing a little bit of stuff with, you know, potential who could be on 50. That might impact my rankings a little bit here as we move forward. But I will do the honors of letting Mitch go first here. Mitch, who do you have as your safest person this week? Number one, no way they're going home.
I'm going to give a shout out to my girl, Sophie S. I don't think the Yellow Tribe is really in a position to go home. So I'm going to put my girl, Sophie S, as number one.
So, I know you listen to our podcast. I don't know if you listen the whole season, some of the season. I don't know how much, but you know I love talking confessional counts, right?
Yes,
I love confessional counts.
I saw she was pretty invisible that first episode. But I don't know. Like, there's just something about her energy that is really good. I don't think if anybody goes home on that Yellow Tribe, it is not her.
So. I do kind of agree with you. I don't have her nearly as high as you do, but I do have a good feeling about her. But the reason I bring this up is Rizzo had 12 confessionals. Sure. Alex had 11. Jake had 8. Sophie B had 8, right? The entire Yellow Tribe had 15. The whole tribe. Just like, so when people are saying, oh, Sophie was down there, So were Christina, Jason, MC, Matt, and Steven. 15 total on the tribe when there was a person with 12 and a person with 11 on the other two tribes. I just think that that's very interesting. Now, you've been a fan for so long. When you're looking at this yellow tribe and you see that kind of, whoa, where'd they go in this premiere? Totally. Are you saying to yourself, probably not in danger early? Or are you also saying to yourself, maybe they also don't really have much of a chance of winning?
As someone who was out there and did not get a bunch of screen time at the beginning of the game, it's like, yeah, whenever you aren't going to tribal council or when everything is going smooth for you, like there isn't a bunch to show, even if you guys are having a bunch of strategy conversations and stuff, it isn't as applicable in that moment. So I'm trying not to look too much into it as who is going really deep. I just think the other two tribes were kind of a little more of a hot mess. Early.
Yeah. No, I see that for sure. Well, my number one, I'm going to go with a similar name here. I'm going to go with Sophie B. Okay. From the Blue Tribe. I'm feeling very good about her spot. I was very concerned, and I was saying it all preseason. I thought that Sophie B was going to be in a lot of trouble because I thought that Sophie B was going to be a player who wasn't going to fit in necessarily on her tribe. I thought that Nicole and Jeremiah and even Alex had a really good chance of teaming up. And Sophie B kept talking about, I want to play with Jake, like that kind of guy. And I said, well, there's only one Jake. So are they going to be outnumbered 4-2? And instead she really spun this and she's in the driver's seat right now. I think that Alex and Jake are putting a little bit of a target on their backs because they're playing hand in hand, literally. And then I think that Jeremiah and Sophie B are in a better spot. Annie's kind of on the outs. Annie was saying that Jake and Alex are a threat, so maybe she's a bigger target. Sophie B is coming out of this episode totally safe. So I'm feeling great about her, even if her tribe continues to lose week after week after week after week.
Yes, I agree with everything.
There you go. I love to hear it. Who do you have at number two?
I have Savannah at two. When they were talking about everybody on the red tribe, everything kind of came from her perspective. She seems really focused on whatever she needs to do to get the job done. I feel like she is going to be able to do that. I feel like if her tribe goes to tribal council, I don't think she's going to be in any trouble at all. She's even given a confessional where she's having conversations about who she wants to work with. So I feel like she is going to be all right.
Yeah, I have her at number three. So not far off from you. I put Rizzo at two because Rizzo was the star of episode one. And I would be shocked if Rizzo somehow went home in episode two, being that he's the star of episode one. But I put Savannah at three. Where do you think the alliance on that tribe is going? Because early on, it felt like it was Jawan, Savannah, and Shannon. And then that changed.
Yes. I honestly have no idea. All of those relationships are going to be interesting to just see who gets along with who. I can see them just continuing to do a good job in these immunity challenges. So maybe we won't really see any of them go home early.
And so a question for you, because you just played, And we see this sometimes where Savannah's making a relationship with Shannon, but saying, I don't really want to get into this Yogi stuff. I'm not all about this, but I appreciate that Shannon's thinking about the game and is doing this. But eventually, a lot of times in Survivor, that fizzles out. Like when you're out there playing, you might try to make a relationship with all five people on your starting tribe. But if you don't have things in common with somebody, eventually you would turn on them or say, okay, that's enough of that. I got to go work with other people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like early on, like you were doing anything. Like you were trying to have any conversation that at least has a connection point. So you're like asking people any and every question that you can think of. And even if it isn't something that you're like, you really enjoy, just like saying, oh yeah, like I also enjoyed that or blah, blah, blah. It's like, you're just like trying to put yourself in as good of a position as possible. But you ultimately get to a place where it's like, okay, like you, well, I felt like I wanted to play the game with people who I had like genuine connections with. So sometimes that like probably isn't the smartest thing you can do, but whenever you're out there and you're hungry and you're exhausted and everybody like is getting on your nerves, like it's just easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I feel like while Jawan's coming out of this, again, Jawan winner pick, so I'm being biased, but Jawan coming out of this episode feeling like, wow, he's suddenly on the outs, but Shannon and Savannah are running this. I don't know if I'm buying that Shannon and Savannah will stay as the duo because I don't think they have that much in common. I think that eventually it's going to be, you know, Shannon's a little weird for me. I think that's where Savannah's going to go with this. So, yeah, I'm curious where it's going to go. But on that tribe, I still feel like Jawan is more in. I'm hoping Jawan is more in than maybe we think. Miss Jubilee says, I like Jawan too. And that's why Miss Jubilee and I get along. So who do you have at number three?
I have the other Sophie B. I have Sophie B there. She is spicy. I like really enjoy her so far. I think she says exactly what she wants to say. She doesn't have a filter. I was really impressed with how she kind of was already picking up on everything that was happening. I think she might be a little too outspoken, so that might cause her a little trouble in the future. But at the moment, I think she is sitting pretty.
Yeah, because I feel like where Sophie has positioned herself is Jeremiah is her number one. Jake feels like, you know, Sophie's in the alliance with Alex and her and him. So Alex, Sophie, Jake. And then Annie feels confident enough to tell people, you know, Jake could be a problem. And so I think that Sophie's pretty much in a perfect spot right now. Now, if she's on a disaster tribe, can Sophie turn around and win the whole game? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But she definitely understands the game well and has positioned herself fantastically. So,
yes, I agree with that.
So we've both done three because I went Sophie, Rizzo, Savannah, and we can talk more about Rizzo whenever you get to him. Who do you have it for?
I have Jake at four.
So you're not worried at all about this Jake Alex relationship potentially blowing up in Jake's face?
It could, but I don't think it's going to blow up on him yet.
Okay.
There's just something about it when you're, well, I feel that when you're out there, like, you want to keep around the people who are going to help you the most. And I feel like he is incredibly strong. I feel like he seems like he's at a pretty good place with everyone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, he could open his mouth a little too much as the days go on. I feel like he might turn into David and get too comfortable. But at the moment, like, I think he's in a pretty good spot. So I'm going to put him at number four.
Yeah, we're not allowed to insult David on this podcast, Mitch. That's my guy. Listen, you know that.
He is
never even said a bad thing about that man.
He is so small, he gets on my nerves. He needs to get into the gym, because I was seeing some pictures of him from this weekend and he looks absolutely tiny.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I sat next to him at the premiere and I was like, I'm bigger than this guy. It feels good to be bigger than some people on Survivor.
absolutely.
But yeah, I hear where you're coming from there. I do think the shoe bandit thing, if people start to catch on to the shoe bandit thing, he could be in a little bit of trouble. What is the shoe bandit thing? Because it seems like he's doing it to have fun. He doesn't seem like he's actually doing it to cause chaos. I don't understand it.
I really don't understand it either. And if that was me, I'd be furious. The first few days out there, I think I ended up losing one of my socks, and I was pissed. So if I ended up losing a shoe, I would have been having a meltdown. So, hey, maybe it's helpful.
Maybe it's a sign too. He hides Nicole's shoe. Nicole goes home. Whoever shoe he hides next might be the person going home.
Dang it. All right.
I know. He better not accidentally hide his own shoe. But yeah, I find it weird because you think about way back in season 19 when Russell was burning things and hiding things and whatever. It was to cause chaos. That was the whole point. It doesn't feel like that's what Jake wants. He wants people to then find it later in the day. But why? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't really think that's too smart, but
And also, like, I don't know if I buy that maybe Jake's as big of a Survivor fan, because he says when he was younger from season one he would watch it on Wednesday nights, but Wednesday night was season one, but after that it was always on Thursdays.
Right,
big of a fan, you know. Maybe he's playing it up a little bit.
That sounds like someone who was on a season I was on, who looks kind of similar, who really didn't have a bunch of experience knowing Survivor. So,
are we getting name drops here or no?
David!
Oh my God, come on, man.
David was like, listen, I'm like, David, have you ever watched this show? I love him a lot, but he would kill me.
I think we need that. We had Tony Squares on the podcast on Thursday, who you pretty much helped blow up.
He's awesome.
He credited you. Yeah, he's funny.
He's so funny, and he hyped me up some, so.
That's all you cared about.
Exactly. I don't care.
We had Tony Squares on, and he said, do you think that we're at the point? Because he hasn't watched a lot of the New Era seasons. He's up to season 25 now. And he said, do you think it's a problem because everybody knows the game so well? And I actually think that the game needs to find a balance. We can't go back to the One World days of 9 or 10 people who literally have no idea what they're doing on the island. But I do think that having 17 or 18 people who love the game of Survivor does make it a bit too meta, because that was one of my biggest complaints about the premiere. I've now seen 5 or 6 seasons in a row of, I can't believe I'm here, this is amazing. I don't connect with that as much. Now, I do connect with when you said to Jeff, why didn't you call me? Right. Yeah. Because he said, what took you so long? And you said, what took you so long?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing I think Jeff misses sometimes, is there's some gold out there that just aren't getting that call right away. But I do think it's better. You need to have a Say and a David and a couple of those people on every season. And so maybe Jake is
kind of what the
doctor ordered. Chrissy. Yeah.
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 Totally. 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 It just like makes the game more. Yeah. Because you like have zero clue what's going to happen. Yeah. It's like, all right. It's like, are you going to be able to do what is like the most strategic thing, or are you going to want to do what you want to do?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. My number four, I also have the Blue Tribe. So I start off with two people here from the Blue Tribe in my top four. I have Jeremiah. Jeremiah is not somebody I was a big
really?
Fan. Well, yeah, okay. I wasn't a big fan of him in the pre-merge. I wasn't. I thought that his initial casting stuff didn't do anything for me. I said to myself, is this going to be a laugh that I'm going to be able to get on board with for 14 episodes? I don't know. And he actually really impressed me in this episode because of the relationship he built with Sophie. And I know that he doesn't have much going on elsewhere, but he's not being so over the top with what his relationship is with anybody. Whereas Alex, like again, Alex and Jake are doing, you don't make a showmance. They have a showmance and they're telling everybody about it. And then you have Annie kind of on the outskirts anyway. So I feel good about Jeremiah's spot. He is the closest connected to the most powerful player maybe in the entire game right now. Why get rid of him?
Yeah. I'm interested to see how he does though. Like I just, yeah. But at the moment, yes. I just feel like he's a lot. Which is awesome and great, but sometimes whenever you're like exhausted, I'm like, all right, I need you to tone it down just a little bit.
Yeah, and that's where, do I think Jeremiah wins the season? No, I don't. Yeah. I don't think that happens. But in terms of getting through episode number two, I feel about 95% confident Jeremiah will be there for episode three. I really do feel that good. So who do you have at number five?
Rizzo, because he's awesome. And I love him with my whole heart. He's awesome. I think... yeah, he's just a good kid. Like, he just seems so excited to be out there. He has a really cool story from what he spoke about. Getting to see him like work through that challenge was like, let's go, buddy. You can do it. Yeah. Like, come on. And just getting to see him like have his moment was truly special. I was like, I want you to win. Like, come on. So I'm going to put him at number five.
I love it. Yeah. I feel like Rizzo coming in, obviously high expectations. You call yourself R-I-Z-G-O-D, the man, the myth, the legend. You're putting something on your back there. You better live up to that hype. And I do feel like in this first episode, he did. And we were talking a lot about it, Gen Z casting, right? They need to figure out what they're going to do with Gen Z casting and how to make that relatable to 60 and 70-year-olds now who are a majority of CBS's viewership. And I think Riz God is that guy. Because I'll tell you what, my parents liked Riz God. And I wasn't sure if they were going to. I thought they were going to be saying, this guy's annoying as hell. They liked Riz God. And I think that, you know, If you're trying to figure out what are the 25-year-olds, 24-year-olds, 23-year-olds going to look like, good, go this route instead of the millennial representation. Because Mitch, what, you're 34, 33,
32?
35. Okay, so I'm 33, you're 35. So we're the same generation. We sit down and we watch what our generation was shown as during the 20s. And there's a lot of goats who got dragged to the end and lost handedly. Right. Like, and so I'd rather, if I'm Gen Z, I'm excited to see a Riz God, because the millennials early on were getting smoked every time they stepped on that island.
Yeah. And like whenever the season 49 trailer came out, like I was like, oh gosh, like this is kind of cringy, but he's awesome. Like, he grew on me immediately. So I'm excited.
My number five, I did not think I would put this man this high. I am so impressed with how he played in the first episode, despite not hearing much from him. And I think he's on a tribe that's not going to go to tribal for a while. I have Matt. I think that Matt did a phenomenal job of overcoming the I'm an old guy and I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. And he is primed. And I thought that confessional, I think it was from Steven saying, I know Matt knows how to do this and he's just dying to get in on it, but he's not going to do it until I ask him. And I asked him and he did it. And Matt having that reserved nature on Survivor, for an old guy, that does not happen. We've seen it time and time again. That person pisses everybody on their tribe off. I love Matt for this. I think he is golden. I actually think out of everybody on the Yellow Tribe, who I don't think the winner is going to come from that tribe based on the premiere, I think Matt will be the last person left from that tribe.
Now, wow, that's a bold statement, Phil.
Just from that first episode, that's how I'm feeling.
Wow. Yeah, no, honestly, I was very impressed because, yeah, that never happens. Like most people who are cast from that age demographic are used to being in control and having it exactly how they want it. And he was, yeah, he was like, it seemed like he was having conversations with everybody. He was getting along. So yeah, no, I agree too.
And he's over there saying to Steven, I want to work with you. What do you want to do? Tell me what to do. I'll do it. And then Steven's the one shown being a little paranoid, having a freaking little too many out, conversations. Yeah. He wasn't doing that. I'm in on Matt. I'm fully in on Matt. And I did not think normally, like even Gabler for me, I'm a Gabler enabler, right? I was all in on Gabler. And when I'm watching,
he's awesome.
Watching Gabler those first couple episodes though, I'm saying, oh man, he's screwed. But then he kept getting confessionals. I said, all right, this guy has a shot, but he's putting palm fronds on his tribe. He's trying to get rid of his shot in the dark episode one, you know, all this crazy nonsense stuff. Matt had no nonsense. Matt had no tomfoolery. Yeah. So right now Matt's playing a better game than Gabler. And Gabler won. All right, Matt. I see you.
Heck yeah.
Number six, Mitch.
No, six. I have MC. I feel like she was having conversations with people. It felt like, it feels like she's just really easy. She's easy to have conversations with, even though she is probably the most athletic girl on the whole season. I don't think she comes across as like this huge, like physical presence. I feel like she just seems really enjoyable to be around, and I don't think any of those girls from the Yellow Tribe are going to be in trouble just yet.
Yeah, I didn't know how to rank that tribe because we saw so little of them. MC, in my boot order video that I put out beforehand, I had MC finishing second, actually. I think I put her second or fourth. It was one of those two, but I had very high expectations for MC. I think she has a lot of potential on the season, but we really did not get to see much of her at all. So that was a little concerning for me, especially since she had the air quotes hero moment of the first challenge, which was really just climb up on this and jump. But you know, hey, it's a hero moment. They didn't get the shot they wanted, I don't think, the producers, but that's neither here nor there. MC though, I wanted to hear more, but really it's how I'm feeling about that entire Yellow Tribe. So I can't knock you for putting MC at six. I don't have her much lower, because if that tribe does lose, why would you vote out her?
No, absolutely.
My number six is probably the person I was also very impressed. I can't even say it's the most impressed, because Matt impressed me. Sophie B fitting in as well and taking over that tribe really impressed me. But this guy I had zero expectations for. I thought this guy was going to be terrible on this season. I thought he was a stunt casting choice, and I thought he was going to be a boring guy. And it's Nate. Nate killed it this episode. He absolutely killed it. And I'm sitting here going, this is not the type of, look, he's a producer, right? Most people don't know producers unless they become Ben Affleck becomes a producer. Everybody knows Ben Affleck, but most people don't know producers. So when you look at somebody like Nate, he's such a secondary, tertiary celebrity. He's not that celebrity that's in your face that you're saying, we want to get this guy on the show because this will drive viewership. He's got a cool story. He works in Marvel. He does all that. But when we've seen this type of celebrity in the past, they've gone out so early. And I think about John Lovett just 2 seasons ago. That's what happened to him. Cedric last season, you know, he was kind of in that same boat. He's very TV and you know, he knows what he's doing on screen, but it's kind of this weird celebrity where they're having a hard time maybe showing his reasoning for a lot of the decisions he's making. Nate came out. I knew exactly why Nate was doing what he was doing. I understood his logic. It was logical. And he was making all the right decisions and the right moves. And he's positioned himself where I'm coming out of this thinking, Nate, Rizzo, Savannah that could be your trio that runs this entire game.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Because I know you don't have him yet, but what were your expectations for Nate coming in being kind of this archetype that he's fitting?
Yeah, honestly, I really wasn't sure how he was going to do. I feel like usually they don't do great. But I feel like he's making an effort to get to know all of the people on his tribe. He seems like pretty easygoing, and I'm sure like when you're working with that many like different people from everywhere, like you have to be good at it. So I think he also comes across as being very aware, and I feel like there are some other people who don't.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. So yeah, Nate, number 6. Again, Matt and Nate as my 5-6 and Jeremiah as my 4. Maybe I'm overreacting to one episode because I had such low expectations for those three, but they killed it. They crushed it. Loved what I saw from all three of them in that first episode. So you're up to number 7.
Yes, I'm going with Alex. I think
I have Alex too.
Yep. I think even though he didn't get the job done on that first challenge, like I felt like he is still surprisingly in a great spot, which honestly is crazy. That he wasn't at camp for like maybe an hour and a half, 2.5 hours, and he is still okay. Like, but I think that is because Jake really did want to work with him. But yeah, I have Alex at 7. I don't really see him going home anytime soon. So
yeah, I have Alex at 7 as well. And I mean, you know, going away, losing your challenge, coming back to your tribe and still being in an okay spot. Does that sound like anybody you know? I don't know. Maybe Kyle, maybe.
Yeah, I said, well, he might go ahead and win this whole thing. Here we go.
Yeah, so Alex is in a similar spot. Alex, I thought, had a good episode, and what I thought was a really key scene for Alex and why I have him ranked at 7, a little bit higher than some of the other people on Blue, is because he got the scene with Annie.
Yes.
I think that was really, really good for him because now he gets a scene with the person who feels like the obvious boot. where he is showing that I can work with anyone. I like to work with Annie. I like to, and maybe that's why I rank Jeremiah too high. Maybe Alex tries to make a push with Sophie and Jake and say, let's team up with Annie. Let's get Jeremiah out of this game.
Yeah.
But I feel like Sophie would probably push back on that because Sophie's not going to want to set herself up to be outnumbered 3-1 and then definitely 2-1 at that next vote where Alex and Jake would absolutely vote her out. So I go Alex at 7 and then I actually have Jake at 8. I don't think Jake is going to be super long for this game, but I don't think Jake is going to go home here because Jake is going to overplay. I think that's what we've seen. I think your David comparison is pretty spot on for Jake. Yeah. I think he's going to go a little too far at some point, but right now, Sophie, Alex, Jake, that is a group of three that is in my opinion, going to stay around. Jeremiah's in there too. I think that if Blue loses, it is a very obvious trashy Annie boot. That's my
opinion. Yes. So.
All right. Who's your number 8?
Number 8 is Matt. I was very impressed with how he was able to get in with everybody. And also, he's on a tribe with people who I feel like he can have conversations with. I think if he was on some of the other tribes, then he would probably be in trouble. But I think he is surrounded by some people who really enjoy him.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I do. And that's, again, like I have Matt a little bit higher than you, but, you know, you come out of that first episode and normally you're sitting there going, Annie 17, Matt 16, Jake 15, or Nate 15. You know, it's your older people because they go out so early. And Matt really did. I think Matt also, you think about the job he has, right? How he's now throwing bags at the airport, as he says. That is a job that is a younger person's job, right?
Oh,
that is
totally. Yeah.
So I think that really works in his favor where he's working around young, physical people who probably aren't going to be as like-minded as him, who aren't going to have as similar of life stories or anything like that as him. That's perfect for getting on Survivor as the old guy.
True. That is a great point, man.
I gotta clip that. McKenna, clip that. That's the scene I want of Mitch saying great point. That's all I want. Clip that, put that on socials. Who do you have at number 9?
I got Nate.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be interested in seeing how he does because I think he can do a pretty good job, but so it's like whenever you're playing Survivor, as somebody who works in education and was like very, very cautious of what I was saying and how I was out there playing, I'm interested to see like how he's able to like to be like cutthroat.
He does have the most to lose on the season.
Yeah, right? You're kind of a big deal here.
Yeah. Well, and obviously to a more extreme example, right now for our patrons, we're finishing South Pacific and we're getting into One World for Every Season Matters. And obviously One World has Alicia losing her job at the end of that season because of things that she says on the show. Yes. Now, granted, what she said was a lot worse than probably what Nate's going to say, but you do have to think now, once that happened, that kind of led to this thing of, oh, wow, people can lose their jobs for what's happening on Survivor. It hadn't really happened up to that point. And, you know, Nate being that, I mean, he's in the most successful franchise in entertainment history.
Which is wild.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'd be going and playing Survivor. So credit to Nate for going out there and playing anyway. But I mean, that's that, you know, that is a tricky spot. He's got a lot to lose. And I wonder if that'll impact maybe the way he makes some decisions further down the line. And I don't think we're going to get any sound bites from Nate that are going to be mocking or making fun of any.
He's going to be okay out there, I think.
Yeah. I think he's going to be the, probably the most positive guy out there. So my number nine, I have MC right in the middle. No clue what to do with her because I barely heard from her. I'm putting her right in the middle. She took the hero air quotes role at the first challenge. She did a great job. Her and Christina, I kept talking about it. They did a great job with the snake in their challenge. That was that was the segment where they got back in it. And
so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I'm not knocking Christina here, but I think that had more to do with MC, even though I think Christina did a great job too. I just think MC is way too powerful on that tribe. That is a tribe where when you look at them, they don't have a really strong person. Right. You have Jake over on blue, and then over on red, it's a little bit smaller of a tribe too. But, you know, I think that with this yellow tribe, MC is probably the most valuable person on her entire tribe.
1,000%.
Even though I didn't hear from her, I'll put her at nine.
I know.
They got to get there. You know, what's a bummer, Mitch, is when I look at last season, your season, right? With the Survivor 48 confessional count. I got to pull it up now, but I think you all in that first episode, Bianca, Chrissy, very low. Everybody else had like two or more. And obviously Say had the monster episode, but it seems like the last two seasons, they've really gone back to kind of what they were doing in the older seasons of giving some people so little in the first episode where 47, 46, 45, you felt like you were hearing from everybody a lot. Yeah. And I don't know why they've decided to go that route again. It's a bummer.
Yeah, yes, but it's like when you have really entertaining people who have a bunch of stuff happening, it's like, yeah, like, Say is great TV. She was great out there. It's like some people you just can't cut out.
Yeah. That's true. So MC, unfortunately, was not one of those people, at least for episode one, but we'll see where it goes. Who do you have at number 10?
Christina.
Okay.
I have her at 10. I just really think she's sweet, and I think she's awesome, and she just seems really happy to be out there and a great attitude, and I hope she does great.
Yeah, I have Christina a little bit lower. She was my second pick in my fantasy draft. By the way, Will's second pick was Nicole. So what does Will know? But my second pick,
Will, what a scrub!
I'm telling you, like Nicole should have been your sixth or seventh pick there. Will, we don't even have seven rounds. But I took Christina here because I felt like her personality really pops. There's no doubt about that. What worries me and the reason I have her a little bit lower is early on, you look for any reason to get rid of people.
Yeah.
And her being scared of birds and kind of having that arc, is it going to turn into this re-arc of, and I overcame all of it? Or is it going to be a, no, I'm really just scared of everything and that's not good. I don't think her tribe's in danger for quite some time, as we've talked about, you know, pretty thoroughly here. But she is somebody I'm a little bit more concerned with strictly because of the fact that, you know, you look for any reason to get rid of people and that's a reason. So
yes, I agree with you there.
All right. Where am I at? Oh, that's not the right paper. That's why I'm trying to figure out what number I'm at. So I didn't do my 10 yet. I have Steven at 10. Again, a little worried about Steven a little bit because of the paranoia setting in and saying, what if they don't like me? What if they want to vote me out? But also he was the narrator of that tribe. Are they going to vote are the editors setting us up to vote out the narrator of a tribe in the second episode? And we heard nothing from anybody else. He had one third of the confessional tribe. I can't see it. So I'm going to put him at 10. Although I am worried about Steven's prospects of a deep run in this game.
Yes. Number 11, I have Sage.
Okay.
I think she's in an okay spot at the moment on her tribe. I'm interested to see who she works with. I could see her going with Savannah and Rizzo and Nate. So I just wasn't really sure. Yeah, she didn't have any crazy confessionals. So I was like, I don't really know.
She only had one confessional, but it was a crazy confessional. It was about burping.
I was like, I don't really know how you're going to play out here. So I was like,
I have no idea. I have Sage much lower. I'm kind of surprised you put her here because my biggest takeaway from Sage was out of everybody on that tribe, she is the one where we heard nothing game-wise. We didn't hear anybody talking about trying to bring her in. I think Sage's longevity in this game will come down to how well her tribe does.
Tribe does. Yep.
Because she feels like Star to me, right? And Star is a totally different personality than Sage, but it feels like the same thing where Outcast on her tribe right off the bat, but if the tribe keeps winning, you're fine. And then you can
1,000%
almost everybody on your tribe. And that's where I feel Sage is. I think if Sage can get, if that tribe wins the first 2, 3, 4 immunities, Sage could be in a great spot because now Sage becomes less threatening.
Yeah.
If they lose the next one, I just don't know who's going to bat for Sage. I don't know who's doing it. I don't know. My number 11, I have your Sophie. I finally am putting your Sophie. Season 40.
That low? Come on.
Who is she?
I
didn't rewatch the episode. I only watched it once. I don't know. I mean, I know you were at a watch party, so I don't know how much you heard and you know how much you got to rewatch or anything like that. But what were Sophie's confessionals about? I couldn't even tell you.
Hey,
that's my problem.
True. She posted a picture on her Instagram from when she was out there, and homie looked so jacked. I was like, Sophie. Look at those guns. Get out of here with those.
So. I did not see that photo. Maybe that would have changed my opinion. But I don't know. I got nothing from her.
Yeah.
Nothing. And she actually had more confessionals than two people on the season and was tied with three others. And out of all those people, I felt like I heard the least from her because, I mean, Sage had one, but we're all doing the whole I love poop thing. Like, we all know that. I can't remember what Sophie said. I really
don't. So, no, I get you there.
11. Sorry. I know if I would have known that I forgot she was your alternate. I would have put her at like 3 or 4 just you know, so I can keep the 48ers happy.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm playing the political game here. Where do you go at number 12?
I went with Steven.
Okay.
I hope he goes deep into this game, but the confessional really scared me. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I feel like he has to be a pretty big asset to his tribe. He's probably the most athletic guy. Mm-hmm. So I hope he's okay, but I hope he's able to settle down some, especially since they haven't gone to tribal or shouldn't have any reason to be freaking out.
That's what was scariest for me. You talk about the insecurity can hit, you know, all of that can hit right away. We very rarely is anybody ever stripped completely of all of, you know, your comfort.
Yeah.
But it was the fact that he wasn't going to tribal. He was on the dominant tribe. And it felt like everybody was getting along with him. So it's not even so much that I'm concerned he said it, because I get that almost everybody out there is going to have an insecure, I don't feel like I belong confessional. What concerns me is that they showed it.
Because
if they're showing it, there's a reason they're showing it.
Oh, don't say that for my boy, Steven.
No,
yeah, that's tough.
And because I'll tell you what, I ended up putting him here at what did I say, 10? When you're halfway through that first episode, I'm saying to myself, oh wow, this is a gamer. This is a guy he's going to go deep. We're getting a lot from him. And then all of a sudden, he's talking about junior high and being bullied and all that. And I'm just like, oh no, like where is this coming from? You don't need to be thinking about this yet. You should be confident. You're dominating.
But that was kind of similar to Andy.
Yeah, it's true.
Who was having a meltdown and honestly was in a great position. So, yeah.
So my number 12, I have Juwan. So my winner pick, I have him this low after episode one. It's not even so much that I actually think he's going home. I am concerned over he was going to be the one who was going to be holding auditions, and then all of a sudden Savannah saying, I don't know what's going on with Juwan. But when I'm watching this episode, the whole shift into I don't know what's going on with Juwan felt kind of forced. It didn't feel like it was the most natural progression of events I've ever seen on Survivor. And so I wonder if, again, this is something that's being put in there for us to kind of root a little bit more for Juwan, if he's got to overcome something from day one. Look, what the editors and casting clearly love in the new era is they love the background story, right? We want they tell us everything about you that you've gone through in your life. I mean, how many conversations were on your season about people's family members, not even about them, just their family members. And so we already heard Rizzo talking about it. His parents are janitors and are custodians, whatever it is. And they live in a 500 square foot apartment and all these different things. And so when I'm watching this and I see Juwan, everything was kind of going fine for Juwan. And the editors and the casting team don't seem to want to go with your everything is fine type characters anymore. They seem to want to build up some of the negative and the hardship.
Totally.
So I still feel like Juwan is in the alliance. I feel like he's there. How tight he's in the alliance, I don't know. But I feel like he's in the alliance. And so I'm going to put him here. But I'm also going to put him only at 12 because there's a very good chance he's also not in the alliance. And I'm just a little wishful thinking here.
Yeah. All right. From here on down, I don't know. It's a hot mess over here. Here we go.
Here we go. We're riding into the official, these people could go home.
I think so. Well, except for one of them. But I just don't know about them. So, okay. But number 13, I have Shannon. Okay. I'm happy that she finally got on the show. I remember seeing her interview with Boston Rob years and years ago. And he asked her, have you ever sent in an application? And look at her now. She's out there, which is freaking awesome. But I just don't know how she fits in with everyone on her tribe. But I don't think she's going to go home first from her tribe. I think it's going to be someone else, but she could.
Yeah, I don't like the way your list is going here, Mitch, because if you're saying you think it's going to be somebody else, Juwan's the only one you haven't named yet. So I don't really like where you're at here. I might have to move Sophie down a little bit. I hear what you're saying. And look, Shannon is, this is an archetype we're starting to see more and more of as the show develops, right? We saw Kendra almost looks like a baby version of this compared to Shannon, right? And compared to Sage. Kendra is somebody who I've had on the podcast, and you know, Kendra does the astrology thing and all that, but Kendra also has some very normal statements that come out. Shannon and Sage did not make a normal statement this entire episode. Now, maybe that's the way it's being edited and they're being normal otherwise. And you know, normal, what the hell is normal? But I just feel like as I was watching Shannon, again, I go back to Savannah feels like the kingpin / queenpin of that tribe, right? She feels like she's the one calling the shots. She's close with Shannon. She wants to work with Shannon. But I do worry that Shannon's going to maybe hit a point of, hey, you know, the whatever, I don't want to like make fun of her, but something's going to shift in the world that day that can make her say, no, I don't want to vote out Sage. I want to vote out Nate. And then that turns into Savannah saying, I do not agree with this. And also, why am I allowing her to dictate my game?
Yeah.
And then Savannah says, also, I was building this alliance based off she's a gamer. She's too much of a gamer now. I need to get rid of her. That's what I'm concerned about here with Shannon. So I have Shannon way lower than I thought when I started making my rankings, though. I said, well, there's a lot of wiggle room for her to drop.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Here, Mitch, what's your drink of choice? Because Sup says, Mitch, come down to Miami and let me buy you drinks.
Listen, I am trying to go down there soon. So I will let you know. I love a good vodka Sprite.
Okay. Come on. I like that. All right. I can't drink vodka anymore. I found out I have an allergy to vodka. Yeah. After I was drinking vodka nonstop, and I was like, no, my stomach's supposed to feel like this after drinking.
It's alcohol. It's fine.
Yeah. And then I started drinking like whiskey and beer, and I said, my stomach doesn't hurt at all. What's going on here?
That's wild.
Yeah. Wild. Wild. Vodka is the one thing. And I drank vodka a lot. Probably part of the reason why I'm missing part of my colon these days, Mitch, but here we are. Anyway, what are we at? 13. All right.
Number 13.
Jason, you haven't said Jason yet. Jason did not have a good premiere, in my opinion. I think that Jason had said in his preseason interview, it's going to be hard not to tell people how smart I am because it's just going to come out. I'm a little worried that he's an oversharer in general, though. As somebody who just mentioned missing part of my colon, I feel like Jason's an oversharer. I think that when he comes out and says, I was an alternate until 30 minutes before I went to bed last night, and this happened, and this happened, a little TMI there. You know, I think he's just being a little bit too much. And, you know, I didn't see him really building a relationship with anybody on that tribe. And yes, he talked about the gamer stuff, and we got a fun confessional from Matt saying, I don't know what that is. And then Steven saying, I do know what that is. But I just don't know if he's going to be a little too out there for the rest of that tribe. And so he doesn't seem like he's killing it in challenges. Not that he's been bad, but he's not killing it. If he ends up kind of being the social outcast there, he's your first boot. I only have one person from his tribe lower than him. So, yeah. You haven't figured out who it is yet. I'll give you a hint. She hates birds.
Oh, you better take that back.
I have Christina at 14. So I go Jason, then Christina. Those are my 13, 14. And Christina, again, I'm putting her there. I don't think this tribe's going. So I have two reds and one blue behind the lowest two yellow tribe people. But I just worry, like, any reason to get rid of these people. I think Jason overshares. I think Christina maybe a little too, what is she? Like, what if we actually need her for something? Like, and she starts getting, if the elements start getting the best of her, that could be a problem. So we'll see. Ultimately, I think the whole yellow tribe is probably at final 14 or 15 of this season, though I don't think they go for the first two or three tribals.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you there.
So where do you,
are you
second guessing my decisions?
No. I'm guessing my choices here. Okay. Number 14, I have Jeremiah.
Okay.
I wanted to put him lower, to be honest. But I think he is in a really good position with Sophie B. Okay. But hearing that the reason Nicole went home was because of Jake, I have a feeling if Jake wants them to go home, he's going to go home.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen just yet. But other than Annie, I think he's the next one.
I just feel like, and I agree with what you're saying there, I just feel like Sophie will go to bat so much because she knows that, like she said, I'm Cuban, I'm Miami. If you say I'm your number one, I better be your number one.
Yeah.
And that's not the case, and she knows that, and I think she's going to go to bat for Jeremiah so hard. I think that Sophie would be willing to cut Jake or Alex to keep Jeremiah. That's how much I think that she would want to keep Jeremiah. So, but I hear where you're coming from. Like you said, though, you've been out on the island. You've been around, you know, big personalities, small personalities, regular personalities, whatever. You know what could start to drive people up a wall. maybe Jeremiah does start to eventually get under people's skin or something. I don't know. All right, we're down. We're almost down to it here. 15.
I got Jason.
You are saying all the wrong J names right now. All right, Jason.
Yeah. I have Jason. I thought he overshared. I think he isn't going to be able to hop in as easily as MC was able to. Like, I honestly can't even wrap my head around, like, those two were alternates. Like, everyone had already done everything. Like, they had done their interviews. They had done all of that stuff before you start the game. They weren't in the original cast photo. Like, all of that stuff had already happened. And then to hear, like, before you're going to sleep, when you probably have already been like, I can't believe this. Like, I came all the way out here for a week and I'm not getting to play. And then to get the opportunity is wild. So I just don't know how he is going to be able to handle it all moving forward. But I feel like if one of the they vote off one of those guys, I think he is the one to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Like I said, I put Christina one spot below him, but I do think like Jason and Christina is probably a toss up. It's weird. And I know that Jeff has made pretty much an example of the two people who were pre-gaming here. But it's weird to see the two alternates on the same tribe where MC and Jason are both there coming in with this kind of weird mindset. Normally, if you're going to see, I mean, really, you'd see one alternate on a season, but if you see two, they're normally on different tribes. So the fact that on the same tribe is also fascinating because it's, will that create a bond potentially between the two of them based on episode one? That doesn't do anything for us. They didn't tell us that, but yeah, I don't know. It's funny because Jason didn't do anything overtly wrong in that first episode, and yet you and I both have him 13 or lower. So that's pretty telling. I have Shannon at 15. So I think that Shannon, yes, a lot of people are saying, whoa, I never thought that she'd be in a power position. And I get that she is coming out of this episode in a bit of a power position, or at least it seems that way. But it was Savannah who was kind of telling us what Shannon's game was going to be. It wasn't really Shannon telling us what Shannon's game was going to be. And so I still feel like Shannon's game is at the mercy of Savannah. Savannah will be the one who dictates what happens with Shannon. And because the alliances on that tribe are so weird and so all over the place, and there was so much discussion, I can't totally get on board with Shannon. I'll do my last two so that you can do your last two and, you know, have the grand finale here. 16, I have Sage. Just seems like, I don't know, who's going to bat for Sage? Weird context of confessionals, all of that stuff. I'm just not buying that Sage is going to be able to find a way, and just she feels like the sixth on that tribe of six easy. And then 17, I have Annie. I think that Annie's an easy boot if Blue loses again, which I could very easily see Blue losing again. They don't seem to be as united as the other two tribes right now.
Yeah. All right. 16, I got Jawan. I don't know. I don't think anyone, any of those other two guys are going home at all. And then the girls are just kind of with Shannon and Sage are kind of a little toss up, but I don't know. Like, I just feel like if something happens and they end up going, like, he could be the one
I refuse to get on board with this belief.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
I refuse. But I look, I hear where you're coming from. First 45 minutes of that episode, I was like, wow, Phil, you just know how to pick winners. And then the last 20 minutes, or like, you know, the last time we saw the Red Tribe, I said, wait a second. What the hell's happening to Juwan? Like, I want to go out there and say, Juwan, everything's fine.
Yeah, I know. That's what's so hard. Like, it can just switch like that.
Yeah.
And then I think, unfortunately, I think Annie is in a really tough spot. I hope it isn't her. But I think it could be her, which... Yeah, it's hard going out there and playing Survivor. It's hard, and so much of it just depends on who you are on a starting to ride with.
Yeah, and I feel like with Annie, you know, she doesn't have enough people. Like, Alex coming to her and talking to her is a huge positive for Annie. Yeah. But aside from Alex, I worry that nobody else is saying, hey, Annie, let's go make this happen. Let's play this game together. And I don't know. We've seen this archetype struggle in the past. And this seems like a tribe that's probably going to lose again. And I just don't know where she's connected. And, you know, you're coming out of this episode and you're, you know, we're doing our prediction power rankings. If that tribe loses, I have a hard time seeing really anybody else going home. Yeah. I think you were more strategic with your power rankings because you put Jeremiah at 14. And I think the closest blue person I have to Annie is Jake at 8. So, you know, you were a little bit more strategic here than I was, but I just have a hard time seeing it being anybody other than Annie. If that's
yeah. Yeah. And it's like, as someone who was out there, there are so many conversations happening that aren't in the show. Yeah. So, like, as somebody who just watched an edited show, like, the only thing we have to go off of is what the edited show is showing us. So, please, if you're watching this and on season 49, none of this is personal, because every time someone said anything about me, I was like, these people hate me. They don't think I can win. It isn't personal, I swear.
I'm, you know, just here's how you know it's not personal. Mitch is on this podcast despite Blake hating everything about you because you went to A&M. You know, he went to UT and he's over here like, I can't like Mitch because he went to Texas A&M. And I do think that, you know, I bring this up because I don't think in recent seasons, I don't know if anybody took more of a beating online than you did. Really, for like no real reason. It was just kind of because you didn't make moves that people wanted you to make.
Yeah, so, man.
You've still gotten the most out of this experience, I feel like, right? You've done a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
You're doing the podcast. I had you on for after the finale. I had you on for an exit interview and you seemed like beat. But now today you're positive. Everything's good, right?
Yeah.
That positivity, despite the fact, like when people are coming at you online and all that, or you're listening to the podcast and you're disagreeing with what's saying. Yeah. You got advice for 49 because I don't know if anybody's handled it better than you.
Yeah. Honestly, like I like had a really hard time. I just like genuinely care like what other people think of me, which is hard if you're going on reality TV. But also like I think in some of the edit, like obviously not everything gets shown. And in a couple of moments, like I felt like that other people didn't really get to see exactly what I was like thinking. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately I made it to the last episode with with two pairs. So like the edit like really did focus on both of those two pairings, and I was also like really close with Kyle and Camilla, but because of how the season ended up playing out, like it just made sense to edit it how it was edited. But I really like had to have a bunch of conversations with the people who I like was out there with, because when I was voted out of the game, like I truly was like so happy with how the overall experience went. Like I felt like I did everything I could to get myself to the end, and like ultimately like Kyle and Camilla didn't want to sit next to me because I had some pretty good relationships with people on the jury. And yes, I didn't make any crazy big moves, but like sometimes you don't have to. I think the internet was upset because for a couple of episodes, the only thing they showed was me talking about making a move. Well, in order to make a move, other people also have to want to make a move, and it didn't make sense for others to do that. But it's important to have conversations with the people who were out there and who experienced it with you. Because yeah, like I got dragged on the internet. Then I'm like, if I was really that terrible of a player, then I would have been sitting at that final tribal council, and I wasn't. Yeah. So obviously it's an edited show and some things don't get shown, and that's okay. But yeah, I still people still comment ugly crap on my Instagram, and I'm like, really? Like, is it that big of a deal? Like, Mitch, you haven't made a move yet. Get out of my Instagram comments.
Yeah. Like, well, so some people just have nothing to do. Wendell and Bryce, they were given their advice for the Survivor 49 cast. What do you do? And Wendell said, don't engage with the haters on the internet, because once you engage, they win. But I have the New Jersey approach to it, which is where if somebody's just going to continuously insult me, you just almost have to fight fire with fire sometimes. And then they go away. It's some people don't want like actual confrontation. Sometimes they just want to call you names and hope that you'll just take it. Yeah. And if you just say one thing back to them, they vanish. They disappear. It's all like Ben Katzman always says, how many of these people are 15 years old and just bored as hell right now? You know, and that's what you have to remind yourself. It might seem aggressive. It might seem angry. At the end of the day, they're 15 years old. And I know, look, I've been doing this podcast for 10 years, right? 10 years. That's crazy. Since season 30. That was the first full season we did, season 30. And now So I've been doing this for long enough. I know I've said things that have pissed players off. And I know that I've said things that, you know, other players have been like, I can't believe you totally missed this. But at the end of the day, I'm doing a podcast. I'm trying to just do the podcast, and we're trying to just get through it. I try not to get personal with any of the stuff because totally. I understand that you guys are a part of an edited thing. But at the same time, the reason I'm bringing all this up is because I want to compliment you, because though you got roasted, and still people can't leave you alone, you're taking the positive out of the experience. And I hope that 49 does the same thing. If anybody gets negative, if anything like that, like I hope Nicole, who's barfing on national TV, still finds the fun in the fact that she got to play Survivor. Because in those 10 years that I've done this, I have seen this show like literally ruin people's lives. They've been miserable coming off the show. Totally. They've been so angry. They've been pissed about what happened. They want to forget it was ever there. And you can go that route, or you can go the route of how you're doing it and how Brandon Donlan did it.
Totally.
Brandon Donlan is now doing RHAP stuff, and everybody loves Brandon. And everybody loves it. If I have a complaint about Survivor, I call Brandon. And Brandon was 17th place, and I was roasting that guy on this podcast. You know, and it's like, but you got to find the positive in it. So I hope that's what the 49ers do, because I'm going to tell you, after that premiere, I know 49's getting ripped, and I know 48 got ripped, and I know that's not a fun place to be, but you got to find the experience for yourself and not get so worried about what Reddit and people like me are saying.
Yes. Get off Twitter and get off Reddit immediately. because yes, like it is like just really hard when people just say like the most unhinged shit on the internet, and it's like, hey, I am a actual person too. But at the end of it all, it's like you got to go and play Survivor, and the amount of people who would kill to be in the shoes you are, it's like hundreds of thousands of people who would do anything to have the experience that you did. And if someone wants to talk a little crap about you while they're sitting on the couch in the air conditioner, like eating, get out of here. It's hard. Like, it is brutally hard. And the fact that people get out there and choose to put themselves on national TV, like, it's truly insane.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And that's something people got to think about when they go out there. You got to know the haters are coming. No matter how perfect you think you are, the haters are coming. It does not matter.
It truly doesn't.
Yeah. So, all right, last question I have for you, and then we're going to wrap this up. Who's your winner for the season?
I'm going to go. I'm torn between two right now. But I'm going to give a shout out to my boy Rizzo. I think he just has an incredible story. He had a great first episode. I think he's in a really good spot on his tribe. I don't think anyone is intimidated by him at all. So my winner pick for season 49 is the Riz God.
I like it. I like it. I think he's going to be a popular winner pick as I continue to go through these predictions and power rankings episodes. I do feel like people are going to be in on Rizzo, and definitely the star of that premiere. So that helps him. I know you got the New York Marathon coming up, correct?
Yes.
So what's going on? I know you have a charity or something that you're raising money for. So I want to give you a chance to plug that here, and send me a link and I'll put it in the description of the video. But what do you got?
Yes. So a couple months ago, I went to the national championship game with Ethan and Tyson.
What is your life right now, Mitch?
Truly insane. Like, literally, I drove to San Antonio, Texas, straight from school. I ended up grabbing some clothes in Austin from one of my good buddies' house, and I drove straight to meet them at their hotel because they had an extra ticket. I literally hung out with them all night. I slept in their hotel. I woke up at 3 in the morning. I went and dropped off Tyson at the airport and was back at school that next morning. But I hit up Ethan because his organization is one of the charities that is at the New York City Marathon. Well, his organization didn't have any other injuries, but he was able to get me connected to an organization called Immerman Angels, which is an organization that provides one-on-one care for people who are currently going through cancer or who have or who are taking care of someone who is currently going through cancer. And it gives them someone who has already had a similar experience as they're going through. So these people aren't having to go through this like really incredibly hard thing on their own. So I'm getting to partner with Immerman Angels to raise money for them, and I get to do the New York City Marathon. So it is November the 2nd. I will be raising money up until that date. I'm a third of the way to my goal. So if you have ever been if you or someone you know has ever been impacted by cancer, it would mean the world if you would be willing to donate a couple of bucks.
There you go. Yeah, so I'll put the link. Send me the link, and I'll put the link in the description of this video. And then it'll be over there on Spotify and podcast too, so people can see it there. Thank Mitch, you. It was a pleasure to have you. Set the tone, just like we said, right? We said we're setting the tone for season 49 by getting you on here first. So tone has been set. I'm glad we were able to get you on. Everybody, like this video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you want to participate in the Power Rankings game, get your Power Rankings in before Wednesday. You got to become a top tier patron to get involved in that. I know every time I make this statement, I get like a lot of people who are like, signed up as a free member. Got to be top tier patron in order to get the entry into the Power Rankings, because we do a prize for that one and for the fantasy game. So make sure you get in. Otherwise, that's it. Tegwith will be live tomorrow night. I think it's at 6:15 p.m. I could be wrong. I forget exactly what time, but she's live with her first episode of Matt Chat, and she's going to be joined by Elaine from season 39.
Oh, so, heck yeah.
Yeah, first time Island of the Idols Elaine is going to be on this season or on this podcast in a very long time. I had her on a couple times after she played, but it's been a while now, and she's like a fitness queen now. She's looking jacked out of her mind.
Literally, I saw her when we were in Atlanta at Ron Clark, and I love her so much. She is incredible.
Yeah, Elaine is fantastic, and I actually think that's where this Matt Chat first episode was sparked, because I was sitting there eating. We were in that bar, and I was downstairs, and you all were upstairs, and I was sitting there eating with Ryan and Tegwith, and Elaine and Karishma came downstairs. I think that's where it sparked that Elaine was going to be the first guest for this. So here we are.
That's freaking awesome, and I love that a lot.
Yeah. Well, so that's gonna be tomorrow. Go ahead. What do you got,
Phil? Thank you so much for having me. Everybody who's listening, make sure you tune in all season long, and please take it easy on season 49. It is just a reality show.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. Some people need that. Anyway, also, yeah, so Monday, Tegwith, and then Wednesday, recap episode, obviously. Mitch, it was a pleasure. Thank you all so much for being here, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you.